This is our final week talking about new year, new beginning. This is week four, so I'll just quickly run through what we've done the previous weeks. The very first week we said there are 365 days that make a year, and what we do every day affects our whole year. Changing what we do daily can change our year and our life. So I talked about daily occurrences. The second week, we talked about making every day count, because that will make our year count. Putting on God's armor protects us and prepares us for any giants in our day. If you haven't listened to week two about putting on God's armor, for me personally, I found that really powerful. So that is really worth listening to. Then last week, we said, enjoy the moments in each day, that we must take time to take hold of Jesus every day. And I brought this revelation. To enjoy moments with God, we must consciously make moments with God. We need to make those moments to enjoy time with him. So this is the last week, and we're saying a new year can be a new start, okay? A new beginning for us if we need that. And I'm going to take a look at just one part of Jacob's life today and how he got a new start. So here's kind of the story so far. Jacob had just cheated his brother out of his inheritance, and his brother Esau was absolutely furious with him. In fact, the Bible says he wanted to kill him. You ever felt like killing one of your siblings? You know, it's a wee bit tempting at times. So he felt like killing him. When families fall out, it can be fierce, and it can even last for years, sometimes decades. It's not a good situation. So then Jacob's father Isaac decided to send Jacob away, probably so Esau couldn't kill him. So off he trots on a wee bit of a journey to a new place. Jacob sets out, and of course you didn't have trains, planes, or automobiles in those days. You had to either borrow a camel or a donkey, or you were walking. So it was a long journey. And after walking for that first part of the journey, he sets up camp for the night. And while he's sleeping, Jacob has a dream. And he sees a ladder going into heaven with angels going up and down the ladder. You've probably heard it called Jacob's ladder, and this is where it comes from, okay? And that night, Jacob had an encounter with God. And the Bible actually says God stood right beside Jacob. What an amazing statement. He stood right beside him. And we might think today, oh, I'd love God to come and stand right beside me. Well, you know what? God is in you. We've got it even better than Jacob. God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, comes and lives in us. And then it says that God blessed Jacob and promised to watch over him and never leave him. You can read the full story in Genesis 28. I'm just going to pick out two verses just now from Genesis 28. The first one is verse 16, and this is Jacob talking, and Jacob says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. I didn't know it. God came and stood beside him, and he didn't know God was going to be there in the middle of all of his trouble, because he was in a place of trouble, running away from his brother trying to kill him, going to some strange place where he maybe knew nobody. He said, I didn't know God was here. Then verse 19 says this, and he named the place Bethel, which means house of God, or place where God dwells. So Jacob had an amazing experience with God at this place that he called Bethel. Now I want us to fast forward a few years, and Jacob's family is in trouble again. And his family's fighting again. And Jacob turns to God. So it's a few chapters further on, and it's in Genesis 35, and we're going to read verse 1 and 2. And God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make an altar to God, who appeared to you when you fled from the presence of Esau, your brother. Then Jacob said to his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and purify yourselves, and change into fresh garments. Okay, so the first encounter that Jacob had with God was at the place that he'd named as Bethel. And when things went pear-shaped again, God's advice to Jacob was, go back to Bethel. Go back to that place. In other words, go back to where you first met me, Jacob. Go back to where you were first aware of my presence. So here's my revelation for us today. At times, we need to go back to our Bethel, back to where we encounter God best. Where is it that we spend time with God and hear his voice? That's my question today. Where do we meet with God? And have we been there lately? Have we paused there lately in that place where we meet with God? Have we made time to sit and listen? Have we made time for an encounter this year? Not just running in, running out, 2-minute Bible study and I'm off. Have we made time to encounter God? If we want 2024 to be a different year, then maybe our relationship with God needs to be slightly different. We need to sit down and we need to encounter him or go a walk with him, whatever works for us. We don't need to go far. At home, it could just be sitting in your favorite chair. I'm going to sit in my favorite chair and I'm going to open my Bible and I'm going to read it. But it has to be our special place where we feel close to God, where we hear him speak to us. You know, mostly I hear God speaking to me when I'm either reading my Bible or out walking and just praying in tongues and just talking to God about my life and about church, and I just give it all to him. And then I might hear an answer every so often. And when I think I've heard something, I go and I write it down when I get home or if I'm at home. Sometimes you're just reading your daily reading and something just jumps out the page. It's almost like God's shone a little torchlight on it and it stands out and I think, oh, I'm going to write that down. Because you never know, that might be God speaking to me. If you could ask me, what is one thing, there's several things, but this is one of the main things that's changed my ability to hear from God, it is this, writing it down. Writing it down. If I think God said something to me, if I get a picture or something said in church or a line from a song, anything, and I think God is speaking to me, I write it down. And that has changed my walk with God. I started this over 30 years ago, before we were married. Something happened in church and someone gave me a prophetic word. I'd never had a prophetic word before. I didn't know what prophecy was. I had to ask, what's prophecy? This was in the Edinburgh Elam, so someone told me what prophecy was. And I got this a most amazing prophetic word from this American man. And he told me things from my childhood. He told me things when my dad died. He told me all of this stuff. And there's no way this man knew that. Only God knew that. He told me things I'd written in books in my bedroom at home. Only God could have known that. So someone said to me, Sandra, you need to write that down. Because if you don't write it down, number one, you'll forget. Or number two, the enemy will rob you of it. And I could almost tell you word for word now, probably 35 years later, I could tell you word for word what that man said to me because I wrote it down. And then I decided to write more things down. So off I went to Woolies. And if you can remember Woolies, you're as old as me. If you can't remember Woolies, then you're too young. You know, you should be home with a babysitter. Okay, off I went to Woolworths. I bought a little jotter. Brought the book home and I thought, I'm going to write things down. I didn't. My quiet time didn't change. I still did my daily reading, looked up the scripture. But if anything jumped out, I thought, I like that word. I like that phrase. I like that sentence. I wrote it down. I did this for 4 weeks. I had 20 things written down. I remember then I numbered them all. It went from 1 to 20. So after 4 weeks, I looked back at these 20 things and I read them. And it was almost like a light bulb moment for me. Because although there was 20 things written in this little book from Woolies, there was only 4 topics. So it was like God repeated himself. You know, so say example is be patient. So 2 days later, be patient. 2 days later, be patient. 2 days later, be patient. You know, and I just thought, oh my goodness, I've got 20 things and God is only saying 4 things to me. That meant God's speaking to me. God's trying to tell me something. I was so excited. I nearly went out to Woolies and bought another jotter, you know. We need to know when God's speaking to us. So my advice would be, write it down. Today it might be on your phone or your tablet or something else, but record it somehow so that you don't forget, so that the enemy can't come and he can't steal for us. So that was my place of Bethel right there, finding out that God was speaking to me and writing it down. I want us to note this, that God still speaks to us today. So we need to find our Bethel, find out what works for us. Is it just sitting quietly? Is it walking? Is it praise music? What is it that works for us that we can hear from God? And go there. Go there to that corner of your living room. Go to that favourite chair and listen for God and write down what he's saying to you. Record it so that in a year's time even you can look back. I could look back about 33 years now. I could bring in that first jotter. You'd recognise the Woolies cover on it, you know. And I could say, this is what God said to me those first days that I was recording it. We have all the answers we need in his book. And we just need to read it and then write down what it is he's saying to us. Now, I want to go back to verse 2 in that Genesis 35, verse 2. It said, put away strange gods, okay? In other words, get rid of the things that stand in your way from that encounter. Get rid of the things that are just wasting time. Too much television. We're not saying you can't have any television, but if you're spending 3-4 hours a day, you know, television, the computer, our phones, Facebook, whatever it is, get rid of whatever comes between us and God. What's coming between us and that place of encounter? It's wonderful to watch someone on the television that's heard God's voice and they're giving you good teaching. I would think all my Christmases would come at once if I was on television and people were listening to my teaching. I say, I think that's wonderful. But how amazing would it be if you heard God's voice in your place of Bethel for you? That it was your ears that were hearing it and not the person on the television or the person on the microphone. No one on their deathbed ever said, I wish I'd spent more time on social media. So here's my revelation. Time wasters will rob us of time with God. So what time wasters do we need to get rid of, myself included? And it cannot be your spouse, your kids, or your boss. Okay? They're not time wasters. You can't get rid of them. So here's a challenge for all of us. Take a look at our habits and make time to encounter God this new year. The second thing from verse 2, it said, change into fresh garments. Don't take this personally. Everybody here is smelling beautiful this morning, okay? But Jacob wanted a fresh start for his family. So get rid of the old stuff. Get rid of all the baggage you've been carrying and just shed it all like a snake sheds its skin. He's saying, take off the old stuff. Get rid of old habits and get some new ones. God wants to give us a fresh start, a new start for a new year. But we must go to our Bethel. We must make time for an encounter and not be distracted by television or anything else. So go straight to that place of encounter tonight, tomorrow, whatever day, Monday, Tuesday, whatever day you're going to start this, go straight to that place of encounter. Don't pass the television set. Do not pass go. Do not collect £200. Just go straight to encounter. Right diagonally across the board of Monopoly, you know. Straight to that place of encounter. Because we will get so much more out of that encounter than £200 could give us. So much more. We will get a priceless treasure, a relationship with God himself that will fill us with love and joy and peace. And we will hear his voice. We will hear his voice. It is amazing. Or we will see it in a page, just highlighted just for us. And we'll be able to write it down and say, God is speaking to me. And we'll get that new start for this year. Now, just a few further verses further on in the same chapter. So it's Genesis 35 Genesis chapter 35 and verse 9. And it says this, God appeared to Jacob again. He appeared to him again and declared a blessing on him. You know, Jacob's life was turning into one amazing encounter after another. As soon as he went to that place that was right for him. We'll be amazingly blessed too if we spend time with God at our Bethel, in our favorite spot. So feed the kids, walk the dog, lock the door, and find a quiet place to, and allow God to speak. Because he's already there. He's already waiting for you and me to come to him. God wants an encounter every day, but we need to make the time to be with him. I'm going to read the very next verse, verse 10. So it's Genesis 35, verse 10. Again, God said to him, your name is Jacob, supplanter. You shall not be called Jacob any longer, but Israel shall be your name. So he called him Israel, meaning contender with God. So the name Jacob means supplanter, which means that Jacob was a cheat. He was very aptly named because Jacob was both a liar and a cheat. In the past, he'd lied to his father and it cheated his brother out of his inheritance. But then this liar and cheat had an encounter with God. And he was never the same again. Everything about his life changed, including who he was. The very core of his being is his name. That's who he was in God. And the very core of his being was changed because he spent time with God. He'd never be the same again. God gave Jacob a new name at Bethel, at the place of encounter. The liar and cheat that was Jacob was changed to Israel, which means contender. And a contender is a person who's got a good chance of winning. At the moment on the news, there are contenders to be the president of the United States. And you have all the contenders. You don't put someone in that doesn't think they've got a good chance of winning because it costs them millions of dollars. And so they're all in there thinking, I am a contender for the race. I'm a contender for this position. I've got a chance of winning. So he turned from a loser and a liar and a cheat to a winner after he'd spent time with God. He went from loser to winner all overnight, all because he met with God. And God not only changed Jacob's name, he changed Jacob's life. He changed everything about him. I don't know what you've been called in the past. We won't go around the room. There might be a variety of names. I don't know what you've been called in the past, but I know that God can change it. So if you've been told you're unloved or unwanted or not good enough, then God can change that. When I'm praying for people in the past, I've often seen a new name written over that person's head, and I'll give them the name that I see. And I see it in block capital letters. It's like it's on a banner above their head, and I just see it. And it's just there in block capital letters, and I will give that person the new name because it's how God sees them. So say, for example, a name I might see over someone's head is maybe champion. They don't feel much like a champion. They feel like they're a loser. But I'll see champion over them, and I'll say, God wants you to know that you are his champion. You know, it might not be that their name gets changed from Mary to Helen or something like that, but I see the meaning of the name over their head. I want us to know that God still changes names today, and he is saying, I can change your name. I can change what's been dumped on you by this world, and I can take it away, and I can put my plan and my seal on your life. He can take our past and give us a new start if we encounter him this year. Folks, the encounter's up to us. God's just standing waiting. We said earlier, God came and he stood beside Jacob. What if he's standing right beside your favorite armchair? What if he's standing right beside that chair in the conservatory? What if he's standing right beside your favorite tree in the garden or the favorite tree that you walk to? What if he's standing right beside that little apple tree in the field that I walk around? What if he's standing right there and he wants to encounter with us? We're the ones that need to go to him for that encounter. But always remember that God is in us anyway. So even if I can't get that favorite chair, I can't get the favorite seat in church, God's going to be with me wherever I go. So it's not about the place, it's about God being with us. I read this in my daily reading. Bethel means the place where God dwells. So Jacob went back to where he had met God. Have you made a mess of your life? Then go back to Bethel, where you first met God. Build an altar and place your life on it. Now I want us to note this. This does not mean that we need to physically go to Bethel. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that we need to suddenly physically leave where we are, pack up sticks and move. You know, if the first place that we encountered God was some church way down in England, Manchester somewhere, you don't need to get in the car and go back to Manchester, okay? Bethel was an ancient city a few miles north of Jerusalem, and nobody would want to get on a plane and fly there today, okay? Would not be recommended. So what is God saying? What does going to Bethel mean for us today? Well, Bethel is not a physical place. It is a spiritual place, right? It's where God is spiritually, and we know that God lives in us. But we're human beings that are easily distracted, so we can have a favorite place to sit quietly and hear from God. We meet with God in a spiritual encounter on the inside, in our spirit. Regardless of where we are physically, we can still meet with God. I've been in places, I've been on airplanes, I've been, you'll be the same. I can be in an airplane, I can be in the chair in my living room, I can be anywhere and I can encounter God. I can just close my eyes and I can just look inside and talk to God on the inside, and I know that God is there. So it's finding where God is on the inside of us. It doesn't really matter where we are physically. God's temple isn't a building anymore. We are God's temple. He lives in us. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 says this: "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you?" Isn't that just a bobby dazzler? Isn't that just absolutely gobsmackingly fantastic? The Holy Spirit lives in us. Here is Bethel, right here. I don't need to get on a plane. I don't need to fly several miles north of Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit of Almighty God is right in here. So no matter where I am, sitting in a hospital corridor, you know, you're sitting there, you're waiting, or the doctor's surgery, or anywhere, the lawyer's office, God is with you. That can still be your Bethel, right there in that place. We can encounter God if we are listening. We are the temple of His Holy Spirit. The place where God dwells is in us. We don't have to go further than looking in here, right in here in our belly. That's where we meet with God. That is our Bethel. Whatever's in our heart, in our mind, you know, at salvation, God comes and He lives in us and He never leaves. We can always meet with God because He hasn't moved. So if someone's taken your favorite seat in church, you're still going to encounter God in a different row. You know, we don't have to get upset about it. He's always waiting for us, always listening, and always here. Folks, I started the service today and I said the phrase, God is in the house. Do you know why God is in this house? You brought Him. You brought Him in your belly. We came in our spirit, and God was in us. God's in this place today because we brought Him. You know, our feelings can vary from day to day. In this year, they may vary 365 times. They may vary 365 times before breakfast, you know, on any one given day. But God is not the variance in our lives. He is the constant. He's constantly there. He's constantly loving us. He's constantly giving. He's constantly waiting at Bethel. He doesn't move. And all we need to do is just sit down and start talking because He's already there. As soon as God changed Jacob's name from Jacob the cheat to Israel the contender in verse 10, He said this to Jacob in the very next verse. So this is Genesis 35, verse 11. So He's changed His name. He said, "You're now Israel, you're the contender." And God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall be born from your stock." And Jacob called the name of the place where God talked to him, Bethel, house of God. Isn't that amazing how He changed it? He was a cheat and a liar. He cheated his father because he tricked his father and cheated his brother out of his birthright. Jacob met with God, and God blessed Jacob abundantly. This was not just a teeny weeny little blessing. You're going to give birth to kings. It was huge. He'll bless us abundantly too if we make the time to meet with Him. Remember, He's not moved. If we want an encounter with God this year, it starts by us making time for Him right where we are. Right where we are. You don't need to go anywhere else. Just where you are. Thank you. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up.